What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield. During his campaign for president, Trump called for the deportation of about 4 million people in the United States illegally. He vowed to overturn President Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, program, which grants protected status to more than 728,000 young Dreamers who were brought to the U.S. illegally as minors. After the election of Donald Trump, many students called for their schools to become sanctuary campuses to protect undocumented students from deportation. Florida State University student body voted in favor of a referendum to make the school a sanctuary campus. FSU Students for a Democratic Society joined 411 Teen to discuss the sanctuary campus movement. The Students for a Democratic Society is a student organization that takes its name from the original SDS of 1960 to 1969. It was the largest radical student organization in the history of the United States. The contemporary SDS purpose is to promote active participation of young people in the formation of a movement to build a society free from poverty, ignorance, war, exploitation, racism, and sexism. Joining me here this hour, I welcome Catherine Draken, a senior in psychology. Hey.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you back. Zachary Schultz, FSU sociology.
It's good to be here once again.
And C. Moline, freshman in social work.
Nice to be here.
I'm always glad to have you all. I always look forward to you all bringing us up to date with the real world and what's happening. Now, over 4,000 students voted in favor of a referendum urging FSU administration to make the campus a sanctuary campus. What does this mean?
So I think this means that the students of FSU definitely support the protection of undocumented students on campus. And I think this shows that we can build a movement to continue to pressure administration to provide protections for undocumented people on campus. The referendum is basically, it's non-binding as of now. The administration has not replied whether or not they intend to go further and actually make a official statement or make any sort of rules that will concretely provide protections to undocumented students. We are planning to meet administration within the coming few weeks or something so that we can discuss what concrete measures we want to have taken to protect undocumented people.
What do you anticipate? And this is to all of you. I mean, any anticipations of this meeting? I mean, what is the general climate on campus?
The climate is, as always, extremely divided. Campus has this hard line between the liberals and leftists on campus and the conservatives. There are large groups of people on campus who share memes that tell people to report undocumented students to authorities. But there are also large groups on campus who are working extremely hard to protect undocumented students on campus.
Okay, I was just going to ask, were you all surprised by the results of the voting? Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
No, I don't think we were surprised because we had seen an outpour of support for undocumented students on social media. There has been large movements. I think we would look at this rally that happened, actually march from FSU to the Capitol, saying that FSU students are opposed to Trump's Muslim ban. And the rally that was held was actually about more than just a Muslim ban. It was about FSU becoming a sanctuary campus. It was about protecting oppressed people from the discrimination and racism, which still continues at FSU today. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, so many different groups of people, Students for Justice in Palestine, the Muslim Student Association, mm-hmm. the Mexican American Student Association. There was, you know, a lot of different campus groups that are involved in, you know, fighting back against Trump's racist policies. And so
that's impressive.
You know, we saw, you know, just based on like the social media and the kind of movement that's been building, that this referendum was going to be won, and that, you know, FSU students do believe that the administration needs to take active steps to protect undocumented students on campus.
And I know you said, Catherine, that the administration hasn't responded at all. But how do you feel about it? I mean, what's the general feel that you get from the administration? I mean, are they supportive, non-supportive, just, you know, kind of placating you?
So our president, John Thrasher, recently released a statement saying that he totally opposes the Muslim ban for incoming people. So I feel the administration is ready to receive our our demands. They're ready to do what we ask of them. They are a service position, truly, for the students on campus. And I think they're ready to do what needs to be done to protect students on campus.
I'm surprised. I mean, I'm just – that's why I'm like –
It's surprising.
You see why I'm looking at you like, okay.
It surprises me, too, every day. As much as we fearmonger about John Thrasher sometimes,
mm-hmm.
hate to be that person, there was an Iranian student who was caught in the Muslim ban. John Thrasher and many other administrative people at FSU worked very hard to get him released.
Fantastic.
Great.
But
we need to protect the students within the community. Right now at this point, John Thrasher has not called this campus a sanctuary campus. He has said he opposes the Muslim ban. He says he opposes the deportation of students. However, he has not said that he will protect students through legal means, through whatever means possible to keep them safe. He will not stop ICE from coming on campus. That is not something he has specifically said. You know, these are things we ask that administration specifically says outright. We ask that they say these things and thoroughly act upon them.
Jack, I know you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, I think that the administration, is going to be somewhat resistant to carrying this out. And I think that, you know, John Thrasher can put together some very nice statements that, you know, get published, and he can, you know, look very nice for doing that. But making FSU a sanctuary campus, it's not an easy thing.
No.
You know, I'm going to say it is not an easy thing. It is not something that can happen with just some symbolic words. And it's going to require the administration to actually put themselves out and saying that we are going to oppose what Trump's administration is trying to do. And I don't know if they are going to simply put themselves in that position. That's why we thought the referendum was a very valuable tactic, is because before we approached administration and told them what we wanted, you know, we wanted to be able to say that the entire, you know, like student body at FSU has considered and discussed this question. So we chose a referendum as the way to push this issue, because we wanted to actually go to the administration and say that the student body of FSU has discussed this question. We've talked about it, and we've decided as a group that FSU students want the administration to take active action to protect undocumented immigrants on campus. And you know, now we're going to go to the administration, and we're going to discuss that with them and see if they can carry it out. But we're ready to organize to continue to push this issue. We think the administration you know, might not be brave enough to take this stance, but we know the students at FSU are ready to push them.
Well, I applaud you all, because I tell you, when I was doing some homework in preparation for the program, there was FSU. you know, as one of the campuses, one of the colleges. And I was like, wow, so you all really are doing something. You're on the map, okay? I mean, that says something. Yeah, yeah. You are.
I think it's important that, as far as I know, FSU is the only campus in the country to actually have a referendum by students on the question of making their campus a sanctuary campus. And I think, you know, it really shows that, you know, students at FSU, we took up this question as something that, you know, we were going to discuss and start a campus-wide conversation, and then actually had thousands and thousands of students come out and vote yes. You know, that FSU is going to become a sanctuary campus. And we've seen the media, you know, national media, lots of local media talking about this, because I think it is very important. And it shows the trend in students who are ready to say, we oppose Trump's you know, hateful rhetoric. We oppose his actions. We're going to try to build a movement to make our campuses sanctuaries, to make our city sanctuaries, you know, to not give in, but to remold this country into a place where you know, there is not the rule of racism and hate and fear, but of actual sanctuary and solidarity.
That's great.
Yeah, and this is only the beginning. You know, in the next 4 years, we can see that Trump is going to continue his attacks on immigrants, refugees, and undocumented people. And, you know, this is great that we actually have seen a lot of support for these for our referendum on campus, because it means that people are starting to fight back against the Trump administration. People are beginning to condemn his racist rhetoric, and this is important for the next 4 years in continuing to fight against anything that he might do in the future.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding that you're getting support from the faculty, any faculty at all?
We've worked with a couple faculty members, many faculty members. There's currently that resolution that came up in Faculty Senate, or is coming up, that demands that FSU become a sanctuary campus too. Mm-hmm. So that would be coming at administration from both sides, both through Faculty Senate and SGA and the referendum.
Let me ask you to hold your thoughts. We need to take a brief break. You're tuned into 411 Team, but when we come back, I'll continue with you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. This hour, I'm talking with FSU Students for a Democratic Society. I had to interrupt you. Would you like to continue? Sorry.
No, it's totally cool. Yeah, we have Faculty Senate who is doing stuff. We have many extremely active faculty members and grad students who come out and support and who organize with us.
Okay.
Yeah, especially after the recent appointment of DeVos, which is going to be incredibly hurtful to education. A lot of the teachers are very much against the appointment of DeVos, and so there's been a lot of pushback from teachers, faculty, and anyone who cares about education rights.
Okay. Exactly. Let's just get into the meat of it, because I know a number of people don't really understand. But what is a sanctuary campus? Okay. I know there are a number of schools that are involved. I mean, again, I applaud FSU, and there's Stanford, and there's, Middlebury and Yale and Harvard, and the list goes on and on. But for me and the listening audience, will you clearly explain what a sanctuary campus is?
So a sanctuary campus is a campus that refuses to work with ICE agents, which is Immigration and Customs Enforcement. It refuses to give their information out to ICE for deportation. Mm-hmm. It refuses to share the undocumented status of students to any organization to protect the privacy of students. It also makes sure that the university does not discriminate against undocumented students financially. Currently, if you live in the state for, I think, 3 years, whatever the amount of time is, if you were living in the state, you receive in-state tuition. There have been efforts at some points to make sure that undocumented students do not receive in-state tuition. I've heard many clamoring online that even those students who live in Florida do not deserve in-state tuition. I have heard they do not deserve scholarships. These are things I have read with my own eyes. But we demanded, and the student body demanded, that FSU make sure that students who lived in Florida receive in-state tuition no matter of their undocumented status. Because basically, removing that is prohibitive to a lot of students' ability to come to FSU. That is the basics of what a sanctuary campus is, along with giving access to services pro bono to make it legal services for undocumented students.
Okay. So what I hear you saying is you're talking about creating a safe space for students to learn. In essence, I mean, that's the way I would interpret what, after you've given me all the particulars, that just some place that they can be safe and learn. Go ahead, Catherine.
SDS nationally currently is in the middle of a education rights campaign. We're calling it Education for All. And part of it is that everybody should be able to receive an education, regardless of whether they're an immigrant or undocumented, regardless of their financial ability, regardless of what race or class they're part of. I think, and this is something that SDS chapters all over the country have taken up in various forms to continue to defend education rights and to protect and even expand education rights so that all students can receive an education. And what we've done as part of this is specifically as making sure that undocumented people can get an education. But education rights are under attack in a lot of different ways. In fact, last semester we talked a lot about how black enrollment at FSU is decreasing. It's dropped by almost 50% within the past decade.
Why do you think these things are happening? What's going on? I mean, what's the climate? Where is this coming from? It's getting worse. It's not getting better. Yeah. That's the concern.
The racism in this country overall is getting worse. And we can see these are just racist policies. I mean, we talk over and over about them defunding FAMU, putting all FAMU through the ringer every year. The engineering school, FSU, tried to steal it from them.
John Thrasher, president, he tried to split the FAMU FSU engineering school, which would make it so that the FAMU section of the engineering school would receive far fewer funding as FAMU tends to get, and they would not be able to keep the program operational, which I think is
so
a very
clear.
So
students are aware of this.
Yeah. We are aware of it, and the university sometimes tries to cover this up.
Exactly.
I went to an event last night called Power of We, which is an event going on in our school, the night was called Is Diversity a Threat? That was the title of this event.
Well, that lets you know. And
it was a question on whether or not immigrants are safe enough to be let into this country. The title lets you know it was Nazi propaganda, and it was like Nazi propaganda. But, you know, this is what the climate is like. They asked, is diversity a threat? I came and I said, why aren't we talking about the fact that minorities on this campus are extremely afraid? I am a trans woman, and I know that I am very afraid to go to this school. I know I have been harassed at this school. That is the climate on this campus. I have taught a self-defense class to the SJP group, which partnered with the MSA, which is SJP is Students for Justice in Palestine. MSA is Muslim Student Association.
I think they're coming on my program.
Yeah, oh,
that's yeah, I talked so cool. to them. Yeah, that's another story. But yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to get them on.
You know, the fact that people are still asking whether immigrants and refugees are a threat, I think, shows the level of miseducation and, you know, the level of backwards ideas mm-hmm. that are very common in this country. You know, cities that have high populations of immigrants and refugees actually have lower crime rates than mm-hmm. Most cities, and crime rates decrease as more immigrants and refugees come into these cities. And so, you know, it's very clear that immigrants and refugees are not a threat to America. In fact, you know, our own government
well,
it kinda
depends on where you sit. Okay, and who you are. Yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah. but I'm just saying, depending on who you are and what your perspective is, you and I know they aren't a threat. I mean, the country is based on immigrants. Everybody here is an immigrant, except black folks. We didn't immigrate. They brought us over here. And then, you know, the Native Americans, this was their country in the first place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so
this country is founded on genocide and slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yet we don't want, I don't know what it is. I don't quite understand. We don't want to address that. You know, we will tiptoe around that whole slavery discrimination issue altogether. But I think Trump being the president indicates something. I mean, that tells you about the political climate. Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a lot of factors we can look mm-hmm. at, you know, both in this country and internationally, because
mm-hmm.
we see that
of
there
course.
Is this right-wing populism that is, you know, surging in the UK mm-hmm. and France right now as well. I think here in the United States, what we've seen is a real and this is, you know, on us, a real failure of the left-wing movement that, you know, in the 60s and 70s, there was a powerful movement on the left, mm-hmm. Many social democrats, socialists who, you know, were following out of the civil rights movement to completely reshape this country. Things like affirmative action, labor unions, you know, rights on the job, protections of, you know, against discrimination. These were all kinds of things which came out of the movement in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, in some ways that movement, you know, was destroyed by, you know, government repression. But, you know, in general, we have, you know, seen it receding. Right now, the fact is the opposition to Trump was the Democratic Party, which most you know, young people today do not feel in its current state represents you know, us and what we believe. And I think that what we're looking at is, you know, how do we build a new movement that actually is going to stand with the oppressed and working people in this country, a movement that is going to say to all the poor, you know, white people that voted for Trump, that no, actually, immigrants, black people are not your enemies. It's actually the, you know, corporations and wealthy in the society who push out this rhetoric to divide and control us. And I think that's something that, you know, we're looking at overall, and the challenge is we haven't done that. And so racists like Trump, you know, get the floor.
I think it's the change part of it. Yeah, this is just one component of it. The change of the complexion of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had Obama, and that was a real slap in the face for some. My Lord, look what we have mm-hmm. for president. Where are we going? What are we? You know, and I don't know. I just kind of want you all to respond to that. Am I on the wrong side? Is my perception off? What do you see?
I would just like to quickly point out, Obama was not a great president in the long, like, let's look at him.
He deported more people than
right.
anyone
oh, I
else
know he
in
did.
The history.
We're currently bombing seven countries.
Yeah.
I mean, this type of thing mm-hmm. is really important.
Mm-hmm.
When
but
people...
some people, excuse me for interrupting. I just want to say this. I understand exactly where you're coming from and don't really disagree with you, but What did he look like?
What did he look like? He was black, is what we're saying.
yeah, and that's, you can see that the current alt-right movement and Trump are in a lot of ways a pushback to this. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact is, white people within the next few decades are going to be a minority in the United States, and so people are afraid of losing, you know, this privilege that they have. Mm-hmm. You know. People.
Going back, see, I'm sorry.
No,
I know
it's totally cool.
You said something. We just had to add a few little things there.
Sorry, there's this theory going around where it's privileged politics is like hard to talk to people about because they don't want to recognize what they already have. When we tell white people they need to give up their privilege, it's something they didn't ever recognize. It's something they didn't know they had. So it's like learning you had an inheritance, but you never received it, and now you have to pay taxes. They're not happy with it. But you know what? That's what it is. It's the truth. You white people have been receiving just the glories and wealth of the world for so long. And for the rest of the world to receive it, you know, and even come close to that type of wealth, they're going to need to give up. And they said no.
Why should I have to give up mine?
I think it also shows a weakness with identity politics in general because it's very easy to misdirect the focus of people's anger not towards the government, the rich, the 1%, the bourgeoisie, you know, who are actually responsible for the growing wealth gap and the growing poverty of most Americans. It's very easy for the government to misdirect that by saying, oh, it's these immigrants that are stealing people's jobs. It's people of color who are your enemy. And, you know, we see the alt-right using, you know, basically like identity politics in reverse to try to, you know, recruit people to this growing white nationalist movement. And so I think we need people to realize that we need to change the way we look at politics. We need to look at things more in terms of class struggle and, you know, educate people that it's not immigrants that are a threat. It's, you know, you didn't lose your job because of an immigrant. It's because your boss fired you. Right. You should be angry at your boss.
You right.
When we talk about identity politics, playing these types of games is what led such a radical, terrible Nazi figure like Milo Yiannopoulos to come to power. Milo Yiannopoulos, who has in recent light supported pedophilia and pederasty, I think. Don't even get into it. Was basically has fallen completely. His book deal was canceled. He was fired from Breitbart.com.
That's right.
All this stuff happened to him. But he was allowed to speak at FSU. He was allowed to do these things. When he was speaking the hateful rhetoric that he was already speaking, saying, I think he said, what do black people have to, like, what have they given, you know, to this country? Or what use do they have in the future? These are questions that literally have been asked. This is a person that was allowed to speak on campus. Mm-hmm. It was a person who was not only allowed, but was invited to speak. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's most important when we ask, where is our country going? Why is this allowed to happen? There are already forces everywhere allowing this to happen and breeding this type of hatred. The fact that you can say, what is it? You can out trans women in front of a whole crowd and tell them to be harassed. You can out immigrants and undocumented students in front of a whole crowd and for them to be harassed. You can have your website be the concentration of the worst, most vile, most disgusting words on the planet directed at activists. Like me and my friend Lola Periwinkle, shout out, we're basically headed the anti-Milo protest back months ago. The things that were written about us on that website are disgusting. You can go look it up. Go have fun. Read what mean things people have said about me. This is what the culture on campus is sort of like sometimes. This is the ugly things that nobody wants to talk about. This is the things that Power of We does not want to talk about. You know, this is what Thrasher doesn't want to talk about. When he says, I want to protect Muslim students from a Muslim ban, what he should also be saying is, I want to protect Muslim students from the white male students who go here who celebrate white supremacy, from, what is it? I don't want to say the frat, I think it's KA, who harassed that Muslim family while they were walking home.
I was just going to bring that up. Yes, that's good. You got it. That's good.
This is, we know these people. We know where they are. We know when we march through the streets, the people who yell at us when we pass by the frat houses. You know, we know where these racists, these sexists, the rapists on campus. There's a heat map. You can go look it up to see where the rapes have happened on campus. Reported rapes. Reported rapes.
Reported rapes.
Yeah, which is a small fraction.
Right.
So you can see where they are, but this campus isn't doing anything to stop this. They're not saying this fraternity needs to be abolished like it should be, you know, or they wait, they abolish a fraternity, wait 2-3 years. And the fraternity members are still on campus and they just started off again.
Right.
And they're still the same rapist frats. They're still the same racist frats. It's the same things over and over and over again. The students cycle out every 4 years. It's hard for anybody to maintain a movement.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need to struggle and do it so hard.
That's well said. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are having a real dynamic conversation with FSU students for a democratic society. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. Can universities protect and support students and abide by state and federal laws?
Yeah, so I think right now with the Sanctuary Campus movement, we've seen a lot of universities, administrations push back and say, no, we are not going to declare our campus a sanctuary. This will cost us cuts in funding.
Yeah.
It'll face, you know, political, you know, attacks. And, you know, it is true there are political attacks happening. There is a bill being pushed through a Congress by a Representative Duncan Hunter that calls for the defunding of
yes.
any campus in the country that call itself a sanctuary campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they feel they control you with the money strings. We'll take your money if you don't do what we say.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is you know, we saw Trump, you know, go on television and say that if California as a state, they're working on a bill to make the entire state of California a sanctuary. And Trump said, well, maybe we should defund California entirely if they push this through. And that's the strategy
that's
the Trump
the
administration. They are threatening, you know, serious attacks. And so, you know, we understand that. I think what our position is to the administration, though, is this is not the time to be cowardly. This is not the time to be afraid. The Trump administration is moving hard and fast to attack refugees, to attack immigrants, to deport people, and we cannot hold back. We cannot give in at all to them. That's why it's so important we go ahead and declare these campuses sanctuaries. If the government comes to attack us, then we fight back every step of the way. What they are doing is not right, and we can't allow it.
Where are you in the process of being declared a sanctuary campus? I mean, I know there's the referendum, but you have a number of other hoops or steps that you need to take, right?
Okay. So the FSU administration could today declare themselves a sanctuary campus, and they could lay out a plan for the ways that they're going to protect undocumented students. I think the one thing that we are, you know, looking at as the main thing we want from the administration is that the administration and the entire institution at FSU will not work with ICE, will not follow the demands of immigration enforcement in this country, and will not allow them on campus. I think that you know, one thing that makes us very afraid is that there are a lot of students who are undocumented are protected under a DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, an Obama program that, you know, has allowed undocumented youth to go to school without fear of deportation. So Trump has, you know, indicated his intention to end the DACA program for quite some time, and it has caused, you know, a lot of fear and uncertainty among undocumented students. But just earlier this month, the DACA program is still in place, and yet Daniel Ramirez Medina in Seattle, who was a DACA recipient, was actually detained without any charges, and he is facing possible deportation from the United States, despite the fact the government says that he is protected. So we have to, you know, ask, is the Trump administration even going to follow through with the programs that currently exist? Are they just going to completely disregard DACA altogether and begin the deportation of students that are supposed to be protected? And so we think that, you know, the FSU administration could today say that we are not going to cooperate with immigration enforcement whatsoever, and we will not allow them on campus. And I think that, you know, will definitely make undocumented students, you know, feel safer.
Now, if they have a warrant, then can they come on campus?
That we
that's
would.
Some, the reason I ask that, because I know that's a position that some of the sanctuary campuses have said, we're not going to allow you, but if you do have a warrant, then we would allow. And I just wonder who you said on that.
We will demand that even with a warrant, they are not allowed to come on campus.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of speak by some people on campus. There is currently a task force to create a hub for undocumented students on the hush-hush. But there are a lot of people in that group who say, well, we should work with the police, talk to them. We need to talk to the police to make sure that they are not going to, you know, blah, 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 blah. The truth is, when the law changes, the police will do what police do, and that is arrest people and put them in jail. That is what the police officers do. They do. They are not here for justice. They are here to enforce the laws. And whether or not Chief Perry says whatever he says is besides the point, because he will do what he is ordered to do. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Can't trust them.
Yeah. A lot of people have this misconception that the police are here to protect us, to enforce justice. But, you know, there's actually a Supreme Court case that shows that the police actually have no obligation to defend people from any sort of crimes that are happening to them. You know, the police historically, they were originally created in America as slave-catching militias. In fact, Francis Epps, who we fought against, you know, the statue honoring him on campus, actually started one of the first slave-catching militias in America that eventually turned into the Tallahassee Police Department. And so, you know, the police also were formed to destroy unions, to destroy any sort of protests or leftist movements that were fighting for actual justice, you know. And so we can't what we need to be doing is defending people from the police, if necessary, through direct action, because, you know, the police often come to our protests and they threaten us, they harass us, they hurt us. In fact, you know, the police have actually tried to arrest people at rallies that we have attended before. And, you know, what we did, we all held hands together and prevented this person from being taken by the police. And, you know, after an hour of, you know, standing together, you know, arms linked, the police eventually backed off. This is the type of thing that we need to see, you know, people doing, you know, actually organizing to defend anybody who the police are threatening. Mm-hmm. You know, the police, you know, what was it named? Chief Perry actually almost ran over one of the marshals at a protest that we did about a month ago. You know, the police have clearly been shown that they're a danger to everybody's safety. So we need to defend people from them.
And as soon as the Trump administration got into office, they've only gotten more aggressive. We have done marches in the street. It is our right to be able to be in the street and do marches. They have been forcing us on the sidewalk multiple times. They have been more aggressive towards us over and over again. We did a rally for education. We got in the streets for a good minute or two. After we got off the streets, we were on the sidewalk. The chief of the main policeman in charge at that point came over to the woman who was running it and told her, quote, not full quote, but mm-hmm. basically that if she was pushed to do things more radical than she expected to, it would be her fault if anyone got in trouble, if anyone got arrested. It would be her fault. She was held liable. We were told that if a car were to hit us, it doesn't matter, which is not true. If a car hits you, there can still be charges pushed against that car and the person driving it. We were told that if a car hit us, it would be our fault, which is off the charts wrong, mm-hmm. off the charts bonkers. This is what they're saying now. This is the rhetoric that they're allowed to get away with.
You've seen a change, not just a change since Trump has taken office.
Definitely. Yeah, people in general have become, you know, Trump has actually galvanized a lot of people to speak their terrible and, you know, ideas that they have.
He's
normalized
it.
Yeah, the alt-right movement is in a lot of ways a reaction to Trump, you know, putting out into the open a lot of ideas that white America has held this entire time. And, you know, yeah, we see that people are galvanized to mm-hmm. be racist, to be Islamophobic, anti-Semitic, xenophobic. And, you know, what we need to do is create a movement on the left that, you know, challenges these people and, you know, gets them to shut up.
I think the most obvious example of the right being more galvanized is the recent events, semi-recent events, of the College Republicans. College Republicans are the most widely known conservative group on campus. They smuggled out, what was it, a couple $1,000s, like $16,000. It was a lot of money. Their president was harassing the females in the group. They were saying nasty, nasty things about immigrants and gays and trans people. It was all documented. They've all been fired. They were expelled from the organization. But the fact that that organization allowed these people to get to the top, to create an atmosphere of hate on campus in a supposedly reputable organization, you know, that's – and I mean, they were the people who invited Milo Yiannopoulos to campus.
Well, it's like Trump is the president. It's the same kind of thing, that he's allowed to get to the top and be president. And what does he spew? Nothing but hatred, in my opinion, okay? I mean, you know, I mean, there's nothing – I can't see anything – I don't know. It escapes me. Positive. You look like you wanted to say something, Zach.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe taking, you know, a step back to this, you know, question of where we live in a country where we're going to see this administration push through unjust laws and the, you know, way that we need to respond to it. I think, you know, recently we saw the Day Without Immigrants on February 17th, which, you know, it was, I think, relatively like a small action around the country, but in some cities it was very significant with, you know, marked differences of, you know, immigrants who weren't going to school, weren't going to work, many businesses shutting down because, you know, the people were saying that we are not going to stand for the Trump administration to push these, you know, racist, anti-immigrant laws into place and to carry out these mass deportations. And the slogan, you know, that we believe in is that the only kind of resistance is going to be making this country ungovernable. And we see a movement for a major immigrant strike on May 1st. But I think, you know, in general, what we're looking at is, you know, with like the, you know, the campus and how we're going to make it into a sanctuary, is that when these laws are unjust, we are going to use every tactic of resistance we have available, that we will not allow unjust laws and unjust action to take place without taking a stand.
Many colleges have refused to declare themselves sanctuaries or provide special protection for undocumented students due to the vagueness, they say, of the label and the legal kind of gray areas that they present. Some are concerned about going against the actions of the federal government. Opposition proposes preventing colleges and universities from labeling themselves. Do you feel the sanctuary campus status is false and misleading?
I think a lot of campuses have made statements saying that, you know, they support undocumented students. Mm-hmm. But I think to actually be a sanctuary campus, you need to have concrete policies in place that actually protect undocumented people. It's one thing to make a statement, you know. As we've said before, Thrasher has made a lot of statements in the past, saying that he is against the Muslim ban, and you know that he, mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of campuses do this, but it's very easy to say that you're against an unjust policy. It's another thing entirely to actually fight against it and stand up to the government. And we believe that administration should stand up to the federal government. If they do come and try to deport undocumented students on campus, I think the administration should fight against the federal government to protect students and to actually stand in the interest of students and not their own paychecks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to note that when we say stand against the government, what tools I've heard this tons of times. What tools do they have? You know, they got to do what they say. That's not true. The campus, FSU, can take the government to court. They can be like, no, we don't believe this law is just, and just stall it out in the courts for as long as it takes,
mm-hmm.
you know, till we win. But we're seeing a lot of cowardice among campuses.
Is it cowardice or is it just lack of support?
That's a great question. But I think we saw in our campus that, at least at FSU, it's not a lack of support. It is just cowardice.
There is a lot of support, and it's not only cowardice, it's self-interest. They care more about their own reputation mm-hmm. And their own paychecks than the safety of students on campus, which we have consistently seen in their policies and their lack of caring about, you know, declining black enrollment and the racism that's rampant on campus.
Have you, and I'm looking at this and it's like the time is gone. Where did it go? I wanted to ask you if you all have been involved or connected with the National Immigration Law Center. Is that it? Are you familiar with mm-hmm. that? There's a National Immigration Law Center. And I saw that, and I didn't know what it was, and so I thought I would ask you.
Is this a governmental organization?
I believe so.
I'm not going to lie. Mm-mm.
If it's part of the federal government, then it's
I didn't know what it was, and that's why I was asking. You know, have you been involved with it? Do you know what it is? Where it is?
No. We've seen every organization that in the government is getting every agency is getting a new head,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
This one's going to get a head that is anti-immigrant. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. The EPA has an anti-environmentalist policy person. Like, that's how it's going. So I'm not going to talk.
The VOCE is anti-education.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, there are a lot of lawyers out there in this country who are ready to fight back very hard against Trump and challenge him every step of the way. There are, you know, some lawyers, you know, here that have, you know, said that they're going to, you know, fight back when any kind of ICE raids happen or people are, you know, detained and deported.
I got to interrupt you.
Oh.
Zachary, y'all have to come back because I'm out of time. That's it. Okay, well, I'll be glad to have you. That's it for this hour. Many thanks to my audience for their time and their ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.